From Jefferson Public Radio, I'm Eric Thiel. Welcome to another JPR Live session from afar. My guest today was last here about 6 years ago in our old studio and absolutely set the bar for what live performance can be. He's back with a new album due out in just a couple of weeks on Atlantic Records called Friendly Fire, and he joins me from Los Angeles. It's Ben Abraham. Hello, sir. Good to see you again.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me back.
It's our pleasure. I still show off Songbird to folks as evidence of what a killer performance can really be. So congratulations.
Oh, thank you. I honestly actually remember the performance. I remember that day because I haven't done a lot of these sort of in-house radio things. So yeah, that was a special moment for me too. So thanks.
It was brilliant. I'm thrilled you're back with us. As folks can probably already tell, you are originally from Australia, from Melbourne, and your parents were both famous singers. Like, how famous were your parents in Indonesia?
They were, in the moment they were famous, what I would say is their song that they sang is very famous. So they had a song that was called Kidung, which literally just is Indonesian for song. And if you stop anybody on the street in Indonesia and ask them if they know the song, they know the song. They may not know who originally sang it. Their parents would know who originally sang it, but it's covered a couple of years back. We were there and somebody, a contestant on Indonesian Idol, was singing it. So it's sort of the song itself has become like a standard. My uncle wrote the song. My parents sang it.
Huh.
But yeah, a lot. So, you know, the older sort of legends of the Indonesian music scene know my parents. Younger people would only know the song. Yeah.
Do you ever perform it?
I have never performed it. We're getting ahead of ourselves, but it's in future albums. I would love to go to Indonesia and actually do a proper cover of that song. It's very 70s folk. Like it's got an unusual melody, unusual chords, and it's in Indonesian. So yeah.
Huh. Well, when we last talked, you were still living in Australia. You have since relocated to Los Angeles. And is that now kind of a permanent base for you, or did you just kind of get stuck because of the pandemic?
Well, I moved here to release Friendly Fire in January 2020. I moved in January of 2020 to put out this record, and then a month later realized that it wasn't going to happen. I don't know if it's permanent. I certainly, when I first moved, wouldn't have said it was permanent. The longer I live here, LA has a way of kind of convincing you of itself. If you visit LA, it's big and a bit daunting and a little, you know, it doesn't really feel like somewhere you'd want to live forever. But the longer I'm here, the more I really like it. So I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. I do still have this feeling that when I'm older, I'll return to Australia. But honestly, at this point, who knows?
Yeah. Ben Abraham is my guest today on JPR Live Sessions. His new album is due out on Friday the 11th of March on Atlantic Records. It's called Friendly Fire. Information is online at benabrahammusic.com. I have been lucky enough to hear not all, but most of this record. I think people are in for a real treat when it finally comes out after 2 years of it sitting almost ready. I would love to hear a tune from it. I know you've got something planned on guitar and also something planned on piano. What do you want to start with?
So I'm going to play one of the first songs that, one of the first songs I wrote, and then also one of the first songs that I released from the album. It's called Requiem, and it's a really special one. I will say I've been really surprised. I released the song last year, and I have been so pleasantly surprised by how much people have loved it and reacted to it and responded to it. So that's one of my favorite songs on the record. So yeah, I'm going to play Requiem for you.
Fantastic.
Write us a song, they said. Tell us your truth, you've got nothing to hide. We'll tell them the truth, I did, and exposed what I had locked inside. I laid it out across the floor and cried. So it went down like the poet described, and they reached for their children and covered their eyes. This was not a song for angry men. What I wrote for them. Was a requiem. Go on and run, she sighed. I wish you could see all the things that I've seen. Here on the other side, it feels the same as when I was 19. I should have read up on my Augustine. I run for the corner, the poet described, and I in the sun, and I saw myself die. I was so afraid of angry men that what I wrote for them was a requiem.
That is a tune called Requiem. It's from the upcoming record Friendly Fire. My guest today is Ben Abraham. Information is online, benabrahammusic.com. Man, that's the voice I remember from when you were here in the studio. Still fantastic. Thanks for singing and playing for us.
Oh, thank you.
So there's a pretty significant story to that song, and it kind of ties in with the biggest question of our entire conversation today, which is, so what's been going on in your life over the past couple of years?
Yeah. Oh, you know, not much.
I'm referencing an Instagram post for a couple of weeks back when you kind of dropped a pretty significant bomb about what your life outside of music has been going through over the past couple of years.
Yeah. Yeah. Gee, it's funny. It's funny just returning to the memory of when I was touring and when I played for you last time. This new album that I've made kind of covers the moment from finishing my first record and sort of the years that followed that, kind of grappling with questions of my spirituality and my sexuality. And I was in a relationship, I think when I first met you, I was probably still in the middle of this amazing relationship with this woman that I was very much in love with. And then sort of, you know, the story goes, and I guess I'll talk more in depth about this as the record comes out, but yeah. Basically, that relationship ultimately didn't work out. And I'd ended up having this connection with a man that sort of was very, not expected, and just kind of spun a lot of my life in a direction I wasn't expecting. I'm talking somewhat euphemistically. I mean, basically, like, you know, I will. A kind of bomb went off in my life. There was mm-hmm. a couple of months that were pretty intense, and in our relationship, it was intense. And then some things that I did and choices I made that led to some pretty hectic dismantling of my life. I was, you know, my parents are pastors. I was involved in church. My faith is a huge part of who I am. It continues to be a huge part of who I am. And so this was a nice way to really confront what I actually believe.
Did that process go better or worse than what maybe you were expecting it to go at first?
That's an interesting question. I don't know what better. I don't actually know. It was difficult because I was, I guess, a lot older than a lot of people are that go through these sorts of questions and are figuring a lot of this stuff out, which means that I'd felt a lot more established in my sense of identity and my sense of self and my life. And I really did. I was really in love with this girl. It was pretty messy. And I will say, like, it's funny now I can look back and just laugh about it all. And it feels like this kind of block of time and I can talk about it, you know, on the promotional tour for my album. but in the weeds of it, it was deeply traumatic, just in the sense that there was a real questioning of, like, why am I here? What have I believed and what do I believe? And, you know, and feeling like a lot of those things in life were kind of being dismantled. The songs kind of became my refuge in those moments. So I some of the songs on the record are just like, I met with friends and I was like, let's write a nice song. But the back half of the album very much tells one continuous story of what it was like to go through this loss of faith and then, you know, ultimately kind of finding my faith again and finding myself.
Do you feel like you stayed connected to the folks that were most important to you through this whole process for the most part?
Yes, definitely. I mean, my family are all my closest people in my life. I think that moving to LA, I mean, I guess that's only been much more recent. Although I was doing, you know, when I met you, I was doing a lot of touring and things. And I think naturally there was some distance through my mm-hmm. career that afforded me the ability to kind of do some soul searching away from the environment that I had been in and figuring some of this stuff out with a bit of distance. And I think that because I had that, it was able to preserve those relationships. I mean, you know, I understand that we live in a time when religious communities are a little bit radicalized largely, especially in this country. I also think there's a pretty huge wave of very thoughtful, faith-based communities who also meet these kind of challenges with kind of questions and open hands a bit, like, okay, we don't really know what this means either, but we're supportive and we're with you. And I think that's certainly been more my experience than the kind of, you know, the classical story of being kind of ejected from your community and things. That certainly wasn't my experience, but it didn't mean that it wasn't still lonely. You know, you're going through something that you look around the room and because you're not talking about it, you assume nobody else is going through it. And so songs like Requiem came out of those experiences.
Well, I'll tell you, with a new record coming out in just a couple of weeks, I have a feeling you're going to be talking about it a lot.
Honestly, you know, and you know, it's funny. That is a huge part of it for me in the early days was this sort of shame around feeling like I couldn't talk about it. Mm-hmm. But knowing, you know, that I had at least put elements of it in the songs, sometimes explicitly, sometimes a bit more poetically. It's kind of therapeutically great for me now to be able to like revisit the story and be like, oh, I have settled a lot of this stuff. Like I feel I'm ready to talk. I'm fine to talk about this stuff now. And it's kind of wild because I just never, there was definitely a moment where I never thought that I would be able to.
Ben Abraham is my guest today on JPR Live Sessions. His new record coming out in a couple of weeks on Atlantic Records is called Friendly Fire. I can't wait to hear another song. What do you want to play next?
So the next song is called If I Didn't Love You. And I wrote this song with a songwriter called Johnny Price, who's a dear, dear friend. And it's a love song. It's funny. You know, there's the old Simpsons joke about how love songs can either be or like Christian music, you just take like a love song and switch it out for God. I will say, when I think about the song in itself, is absolutely a beautiful love song, and that's what we set out to write. When I step back and look at it in the context of the record, I think when I sing it, there is both, of course, that, you know, element of singing just about romantic love, but then also I just think about it in relation to some of the rest of the record, and I think it has another interesting spin about, you know, what does it mean to be a person who is feels so connected to someone or something, and what it would be like without that. So yeah, the song's called If I Didn't Love You.
How do you do? You got me in, and I can't explain how you turn me with the fury of a hurricane. It can't be easy, I'm not easy, but you seem to pull me through. Every path and every question brings me back to you. And it's strange, I don't know if you know all the things that you've changed. Oh, and I just wanna say, if I didn't love you, then what would I have? If I didn't love you, I wouldn't be who I am. Would I be drifting with nowhere to land? I don't know what I'd do if I didn't love you. All the madness and the chaos going on outside, coming at us through the TV. World's on fire, and everything is so uncertain. It's getting hard to make it through when there's nothing left to be said. I look at you, and it's strange how the touch of a hand can make you feel safe. Oh, and I just wanna say, if I didn't love you, then what would I have? If I didn't love you, I wouldn't be who I am. Would I be drifting with nowhere to land? I don't know what I'd do if I didn't love you. If I didn't love you, if I didn't love you, then what would I have? If I didn't love you, I wouldn't be who I am. Would I be drifting with nowhere to land? I don't know what I'd do. No, I don't know what I'd do.
Damn, that is good. Ben Abraham is my guest today on JPR Live Sessions. That one's called If I Didn't Love You. It'll be found on the brand new record coming out in a couple of weeks called Friendly Fire. Man, if only I could have you sitting here in front of me for that, because it's fantastic.
Oh, thank you. I know. Well, yeah, when the world opens up, we'll have to schedule
we'll
a
make
trip.
It happen. Yeah. You have talked about how you love singing with your Australian accent.
Yes.
Can you sing without it? Can you actually like do away with it?
Is it a switch? It's certainly unconscious at this point. I think I earlier on, I used to consciously check myself to make sure I wasn't trying to be overboard Australian, but I was at least trying to make sure I wasn't singing like "I can't believe it," you know, and things like that.
I mean, because I've talked to so many folks from Australia and from England,
yeah,
that learned to sing American. Because that's what all of the recorded music was. But you still preserve this Aussie thing, which is so intriguing and interesting to listen to when you sing.
Well, thank you. I'll be honest. Yeah, I think I was probably the same when I was younger. But it's also because you're just imitating the singers that, exactly like you've just said, you're imitating the singers that you've heard. But I think an accent facilitates tone. So for example, in that song I just sang, there's a difference between going "if I didn't love you" and "if I didn't love you," and it's subtle, but to me there's just something interesting about playing around with the sounds of it. I don't know if I could sing with like an American accent. I'll have to try it sometime. I'll try a country version of that song.
Yeah. You've also talked about how not one single song was actually written for this album. They were just songs that you wrote, and here we are with a new record.
Yeah, it's, well, I guess because when you're going through something like what I went through, the music was just, I just needed to write music. You know, I wasn't thinking about an album. I wasn't thinking about what it was all going to do. I guess it wasn't until much later that I sort of realized that I had a very specific story that I wanted to tell. And then this is one thing that I just love about art. Some of the songs we just wrote as songs, but when I then stepped back and put them all together, there were so many through lines and so many thematic connections between songs. Even songs that feel disconnected from the overall story, there are things in them that I think are completely related in sort of subtextual ways, and that really excites me.
Yeah. You have mentioned a couple of folks that do just that. They make art in unique, interesting ways that have been influences for you. Peter Gabriel, Kate Bush, Donny Hathaway, in considerably different ways from one another, but three unique artists that have all mattered greatly to you.
Yeah.
I find it really interesting that you have talked about the fact that besides maybe those three and a few others, you don't actually listen to a whole lot of music.
I get myself in trouble with this all the time. I don't. I'm not a music fan in the way that a lot of other people are music fans. If I want to put music on, I typically return to the artists that you've just named, or like Radiohead, or like specific albums. I'm certainly not the person that puts like a playlist on and thinks, "Oh, what can I discover today?" I don't know why that is. I can do that with film and TV. Like, I will watch everything that comes out, and I'll pay attention to directors and watch.
Well, that's kind of your first love, right? Film.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, we probably talked about that when I saw you last. So I think that there's an element of that's kind of in many ways my sort of primary passion. But I think, I don't know. I occasionally come across new artists. There's a Canadian artist called Luca Fagale who's incredible and put out one of my favorite albums of the last couple of years. And I do, you know, I find music that I like, but I do feel bad. I typically don't want to listen to music.
I feel like Ben Abraham is that hidden jewel on a lot of people's playlists. And like, it makes me want to make a playlist for you with maybe some Ben Abraham-like discoveries for you to hear.
I like that. Okay, actually, I think that's a great idea. That's a great idea.
Before you go, I have seen a few of your more recent social posts that follow you on like a selfie stick singing in some sort of parking garage. What's going on there? And is that your only practice space?
It's a pretty cynical answer. My record label, who are the best, and I've really loved working with them, but they are desperate for me to be more engaged on TikTok, which I just feel too old. Like it's not my, I'm fine with it. I'll sit there and scroll through TikToks and have a laugh. But as far as like making them, it's not something that I feel naturally skilled at. And I also don't particularly love the idea of just constantly putting out ideas and then hoping that somebody you know, likes it and shares it. And anyway, one day I randomly, it was late at night, my studio in Melbourne is attached to a big old like market hall. And late one night after I was about to leave my studio, I just, the lights were on in the hall. And so I wandered around and filmed myself with my phone singing an a cappella song that at the time wasn't even released, one of my songs. And then overnight, like it just had like hundreds of thousands of views and likes, and my follower count suddenly went from 900 to like 20,000 people on TikTok. And my label were like, we love you and we love this. And it's also hard not to, I was like, okay, there's something here. So I basically, as the TikTok following has grown, I've tried different things, but what I've ultimately realized is people seem to really only care if I film myself walking around a space singing a cappella. So that's kind of become a thing that I do. And yeah, it seems, I don't know, it's sometimes people like it, sometimes people don't. But it's what I like is at the very least, I can just do it if I'm in a space that feels acoustically beautiful, I can just sing a song in it, put it up. And then if people like it, great. And if they don't, I'm also like, well, it was still just fun to do it.
Yeah. So, yeah. Well, I think one of the draws about those, at least from my perspective, and I don't know that Atlantic Records is going to want to hear me say this, as excited as I am for this record to come out in a couple of weeks, you are one of that short list of artists. You don't need anything but a microphone in front of you to sound fantastic. And I'm so grateful that we had time to do this again today. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, man. Thank you so much for having me. That's incredibly encouraging. Thank you.
Ben Abraham is my guest. The new record is called Friendly Fire. You'll find it out on Atlantic Records in a couple of weeks. BenAbrahamMusic.com is the place to go online. I see that in addition to the guitar, you've also got a keyboard there.
Yes, a real piano, in fact.
Is it? I can only see a little bit of the key. All right, well, what do you want to finish with, and are you going to play that?
So I am going to play my amazing piano, and I'm going to play a song that is not out yet, but it'll come out when the album drops. The song's called Another Falling Star, and I wrote this with my friend Cara Salamando in LA. And we wrote it about the experience of moving to LA and many of the friends and people that we've observed who have also sort of made the move, and what it feels like to come here chasing your dreams. I actually really like this song. I'm really happy with how it turned out on the record. So it's called Another Falling Star.
Green-eyed gypsy girl, I never knew you well, but I always knew you'd find your place. I used to watch you there with the colors in your hair and the far-off look upon your face. You were so wild and unstable, you could drink us all under the table. I always wonder what became of you. Did you get high out in Hollywood? Stand under the lights like you said you would, and make it to the neon neighborhood? Did you find out if you're good enough? Finally find a crowd who can show you love. Is it everything you were dreaming of? Are you a falling star? Another falling star. Blue-eyed daydream, always talk to me how you'd one day get your star. I thought I saw you out there with your James Dean stare, sitting on the boulevard. You always were a name among the nameless, looking for a place among the famous. I always wonder what became of you. Stand on to the neon neighborhood. No, and did you find out if you're good enough? Finally find a crowd who can show you love. Is it everything you were dreaming of? So many lights are coming down, so many angels on the ground. Is it worth waiting around to be a falling star? Oh, another falling star. You said you would. Did you get high in Hollywood?
That is Ben Abraham wrapping up our live session today. That is a tune from the new record due out in 2 weeks. It's called Friendly Fire. You'll find it on Atlantic Records. Ben Abraham Music is the website to learn more. Absolutely fantastic. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. I can't wait till we do this again.